do you love me? Because sometimes we find in the book of Malachi that sometimes we are like many of those people who we get into apathy and we don't have the fervency or the passion that we once had for the Lord. And so these are some questions that the Lord was asking through Malachi to the children of Israel. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Last week we started that chapter 1, verse 2. There's a very interesting passage there that causes you to pause and question. And so if you would pull up the Malachi chapter 1, 1 through 3, we will read that. And it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness." And so last week we began talking about what is the reason God makes this statement that he hates Esau. Because that's kind of a weird thing for a God who's a loving God to say. And so one of the things that we proposed last week is that one of the things that is that Esau didn't have faith. Whenever his brother asked him, or whether he came to his brother and he said, "Hey, Jacob, could you give me something to eat?" Jacob said, "Well, I'll trade you the stew for your birthright." And Esau said, "Well, I'm going to die anyway. May as well. And birthright's not going to help me at all if I'm dead." And see, he had no faith in that God had given that and petitioned him or presented that to him. And so he was walking without faith. So Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? And the second thing that we find in regards to Esau is that he did not value his birthright. He did not value his birthright. Go ahead and pull that one up there, TJ. He gave no value to his God-given birthright. God had given him a birthright, and he said, "You know what? It's really not of that much value to me." And so he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And I presented to you last week that every single one of us have a birthright. Okay? If you are born on this planet, God's given you a birthright. And that's the birthright is that you become a child of God and you receive the blessings that God has given you as a child of God. That's yours. Okay? But not everybody receives the birthright. Not everybody wants the birthright. And so many people reject the birthright just like Esau did. Right? Are you following me so far? Okay. The third thing is, the reason, so I also shared this with you, that the word hatred can be used in a lot of different ways. And I shared also with you, so if you weren't here last week, that may be a little confusing, so I want to kind of back up and fill you in. The word hatred can be used for animosity. We find here that Esau is going to hate Jacob. Okay? We're going to find that here shortly in Scripture. But the hatred that Jacob had for Esau is not necessarily the hatred God had for Esau. The hatred that Esau had for Jacob is not the same as the hatred that God had for Esau. Okay? I think I got my words right that time. We find in Genesis that Isaac? No. Jacob? Yeah. I'm sorry. Jacob had two wives. And one wife he loved, and the other one he hated. However, he had six children by her. Okay? He didn't hate her that much. And so we find that that word hatred that can be used in a lot of different ways. And so he preferred Rebekah over Leah. Okay? So, kind of brings you up to where we are today. I know there's a lot of words and a lot of names, and it's hard to get them all straight. Okay? But one of the reasons I feel like that God preferred Jacob over Esau is that Esau was full of hatred. Esau was full of hatred. He hated Jacob. In Genesis chapter 27, verse 41, it says, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessings with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" Okay? And we shared with you last week how Jacob stole his brother's blessings. You guys remember that story, right? Okay? So Jacob stole his brother's blessings. Dad was going to bless Esau, and Jacob pretended to be Esau and came in, and Esau blessed Jacob. I'm sorry. Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau, right? I'm trying not to confuse this. And you say, well, that was a mighty nasty thing that Jacob did, and it was. But you need to understand this. We can't expect the blessings of God if we reject His birthright. Okay? You cannot expect the blessings of God if you reject God's Son, Jesus Christ. You can't expect God's blessings. You may want them, you may pray for them, and God may bless you anyway. And He often does. But you can't expect the blessings of God if you're not a child of God. Okay? And so I believe this is a picture that God is showing us that if you're going to reject my birthright, you're also not going to receive my blessings. Esau was angry and upset because he did not receive the blessings of God. But he forfeited the blessings when he sold his birthright. Okay? So some of you here today may want the blessings of God, but you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you, if you want the blessings of God, then I encourage you, before you leave today, that you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, so if you were Esau, would you be upset if Jacob stole your blessings? Of course you would. There are some other reasons that Esau probably was upset with Jacob. You know, do you remember what Esau means? The word Esau. Hairy. So he was called Hairy. He was named Hairy. Then later his name was changed to what? Red. His name was Edom in Hebrew. His name was changed to Red. Do you know why his name was changed to Red? All right, so I want us to look at a passage of Scripture. Scripture does say that when he was born, he came out all red and hairy. But that's not the reason he was called red. Let's look at this passage of Scripture and find out why he was called red. Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 30. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I'm weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. He got a nickname. His nickname was Red. Not because of his hair, but because he traded his birthright for some red stew. See, this is no family secret. Okay? Have you ever done anything you just wish you hadn't done? You ever made any mistakes in life? And you kick yourself over and over and over and say, man, why did I do that? Okay? Well, here's the deal. So, what do you think Jacob's attitude was when he got the birthright? Do you think he kept it quiet? No. Now, I'm just inferring some things, but I think this is some, I think this is truth. So, I'm sure Mama didn't tell nobody. Maybe she did. Probably Dad didn't tell anybody. But this became known far and wide. And Jake, every time Harry would go out, hey, Red! Hey, Red! Every time his name was spoken, it reminded him not only of what he did, but how Jacob tricked him. Hey, Red! Do you know anybody with nicknames? When I was growing up, we had a man in our town, Loosedale, Mississippi, called Monkey Mizell. Monkey had really big ears. And he was like 60 years old. Yeah, I didn't know his real name. He went by Monkey Mizell. He came to our church. Everybody called him Monkey. That's just, you know, they're just, in the South, it's not that big a deal. I went to, when I was playing football in high school, there was this big guy named Tony. I didn't know his real name till we got in college. But he had this jaw, his bottom jaw kind of jutted out. And everybody called him Monk. I didn't know him. In high school, I didn't know his real name. Everybody just called him Monk. And so oftentimes with character traits, people have nicknames. But for Red, it was because of the mistake that he made. Hey, Red! So every time somebody called him Red, it reminded him of that mistake. And he kept this seething, I think, just kept this seething thing going on all the time, all the time, all the time. Because this, again, was no family secret. Okay? Matter of fact, it's written in Scripture. Somebody knew about it generations later. Wrote in Scripture, hey, he was called Red because he traded his birthright for stew. And so, every day, we'd walk around with that anger. Now, let me tell you this. You need to listen to this. An angry person is often a hurt person. Okay? An angry person is often a hurt person. Either someone has injured them, broken their heart, or they perceive an injustice. So let me ask you a question. Do you know of any angry people? Okay? Hopefully you're raising your hand that you know of them and you're not it. Okay? Then I want to ask you this question. When people who know you, would they describe you as an angry person? Here's what you also need to know. Jesus came to heal the wounds that have caused the pain. But he will never be able to do that unless you forgive. Okay? So if there's anyone, so I'm going to ask you a question. Who hurt you? If somebody popped in your mind when I asked that question, it's probably someone you need to forgive. Okay? Who hurt you? You may be carrying some injustices. You may be carrying some pain. You may be carrying some grudges that you need to release to the Lord. Because here's the thing. We've learned in other studies that as long as we carry anger and animosity and unforgiveness in our heart, then God can't forgive us. Okay? So here's the deal. You forfeit not only the blessings of God when you don't receive Christ as your Savior, But you forfeit the blessings of God whenever you carry grudges and animosity and hatred in your heart as well. Every day, we have an opportunity to be offended. Okay? Every day. We have an opportunity to hold grudges. We have an opportunity to carry wounds. And we can become like Esau if we choose to. Okay? And I will say this. If you choose to carry grudges, and if you choose to be offended, and if you choose to carry these wounds, you will become like Esau. Do you know any bitter old men? Yeah, some of you do. Why do you think they're bitter old men? They're probably bitter young men. They never got over it. They never worked through it. They never moved past it. They never got with the Lord and allowed Him to cleanse those rotten places in their heart and never allowed Him to heal the wounds. And I guarantee you, God can heal the wounds. I know that. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Okay? And so I imagine when Jesus was in heaven and before God sent Him to earth, He said, Son, I've got a task I want you to do. Yes, Dad. When you get to earth, I want you to heal the brokenhearted. Yes, Dad, I'll do. Now listen, son, I really want you to pay attention. I don't want you to miss this. I want you to heal the brokenhearted. Yes, Dad, I'll do that. Son, are you listening? Yes, Dad, I'm listening. When you get to earth, I want you to heal the brokenhearted. Do you get it? Yes, Dad, I get it. I'll heal the brokenhearted. But you know what? There are a lot of people who don't come to the Lord for their heart to be healed because they're unwilling to let their offenses go. And I would just say this, you need to hear this. If you have been willing to forgive and your heart is still not healed, I would suggest that you ask the Lord to heal your heart. He says, you have not because you ask not. So if you're carrying, if you have carried wounds and you say, Lord, I forgive him, and then you see him in the street and you get angry all over again, it's probably because those wounds have not been healed. Okay? So ask the Lord, Lord, will you heal my broken heart? And what do you think He's going to say? Yes. Now here's the deal. Don't deny it. Don't pretend like your heart's not broken. Okay? Don't just push it down and pretend that everything's okay and white knuckle it through. You need to ask the Lord to help you. And you need to ask Him to forgive you. Now, one of the things that perhaps Esau had anger towards is that he probably had anger towards God. Look, if you would, at Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. And so, God is talking to Rebekah, no. God is talking to Isaac's wife, Rachel. Rebekah. Man, I'm getting all my names crossed up today. God is talking to Rebekah. And He said to Rebekah, so she was having problems in labor. Okay? She was having problems. And she was talking to God about it. I said, God, why am I having so many problems? And He said, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And the older shall serve the younger. You ever think God's unfair? Have you ever thought, God, that's just not fair? I'm sure all of us have been there. Yeah, just tough. I mean, there are people who seem to have a better life than we do. Okay? There are people who seem to have it made, that they don't have the problems that we have. And so we say, God, what's up? And sometimes we carry anger towards God because the things don't go the way we think they ought to. Or things don't come into place the way we think they ought to come into place. Or the timing isn't right. And we're just wondering, why, God, can't you just move a little faster? And sometimes we build an attitude toward God. Now, I don't know if this is true in Esau's life or not. But I would assume probably it is. That he had an attitude toward God because he chose Jacob over Esau. Okay? He just said, you know what? I'm going to let the older serve the younger. I'm going to let the younger kid take responsibility for the household. I'm going to let the younger kid take responsibility for the blessings and the birthright. I'm going to let the younger child do that. And sometimes we can carry grudges toward God. And did you know that God is the only one who can help you, whatever situation you're in? And as long as we're blaming Him, He's not going to be able to help us in our situation. God wants to help us, but whenever we ask His forgiveness and say, God, forgive me for blaming you. Forgive me for holding anger towards you and animosity toward you. Lord, will you forgive me? What do you think He'll say? Sure, I'll forgive you. I'm reminded of a parable that Jesus spoke. And there was a landowner who went out into the field and he went out to find some workers. And he said, would you go and work in my field today and I'll pay you a day's wage? He said, sure, I'll go. And so about 6 o'clock in the morning they went out. He found some more at noon. They went out, found some more at 5 o'clock. They went out. And at 6 o'clock when the day was over, he paid them all the same. And they said, man, that's not fair. That's not fair. So would somebody turn the heat off in here? I think we're a little warm. Don't want anybody going to sleep. And so when he started paying them and they got upset, they said, that's not fair. He said, Can I do what I want to with the money that I have? And if I want to give the people who worked an hour a full day's wage, isn't that my business? So what's unfair in our eyes? God's doing some different things in our lives. Every single one of you, God is doing some different things. Okay? And He knows exactly what it's going to take for you to build your character to become like Christ. And so would you just trust Him to do what He needs to do in your life? Even with the difficulties that you're facing, would you just trust Him to do that? Because He knows what He's doing. And He knows how to get you where you need to go. Trust Him. Release Him to do those things. I want you to remember that when Malachi wrote this book, it was 1,500 years after the incident with the Red Stew. God said, you know what? I hate the direction that Esau has gone. Esau was named Red. But not only was Esau named Red, there was a country named Red as well. All of his descendants moved to a location which was south of Jerusalem, and they called it Edom. And the Edomites were horribly angry toward the Israelites. Remember, Jacob got his name changed too, to Israel. And so the Edomites were very angry toward Israel. They hated him. As a matter of fact, when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt and they wanted to go to the land of Canaan, the Edomites said, "You can't go through our land. But all we won't mess anything up. If we drink water, if we let our cattle drink water, we will pay you for the water. So you're not going to come." And they sent out a warring army against them. Another thing says, if you read Obadiah a couple of weeks ago, one of the things that was happening was the Babylonians were coming in and destroying Israel. And as the Israel was fighting against them and some of them running away, sometimes the Edomites would sit at the crossroads and kill the Israelites as they were trying to escape the Babylonians. And God said, "You know what? Because of that, then I'm going to destroy you, Edom, because of the way that you've treated Israel." You may not be aware of this, but do you know what lineage that King Herod came from? He came from Edom. He was an Edomite. And throughout history, the enemy has tried to use Edom to destroy Jacob's line. Pardon? I'm not sure I'm not sure where all of that fits in. But here's the bottom line. God says any nation that curses Israel or comes against Israel, then God's going to be against that nation. Okay? And so he tells us to pray for Israel. He also tells us to bless Israel. He said, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. Okay? And so if you read, one of the big things about this last election is, for me, was how is the next president going to treat Israel? That was huge to me. One of the reasons I believe God has blessed our nation is because of our blessing on Israel in the past. Okay? I mean, that's in Scripture. And every nation that goes against Israel, you find them not blessed by God. I was listening to Carl one day talk about they had been to Israel, I'm not sure how many times, twice. But he said, if you go to the land of Israel, it's all green. Everything is just green and alive. But where the border is, on this side, it's just dry and dead. Dry and dead. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. And so that's one of the reasons on your worksheet, on your communication card, I'm asking the question, how do you perceive Israel? Because if you hate Israel, then the way God's going to treat you is not with His blessings. Okay? If you want to be blessed by God, then you bless Israel. If you want to receive the blessings of God, then you bless Israel. You bless Israel. And God can show you how best to do that. Maybe it's in your prayer time. Maybe it's in, supporting them in other ways. But if you bless God, bless Israel, God will bless you. So in closing today, I have a few questions that I need to ask you. Number one, have you received your birthright? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you're forfeiting the blessings of God. The second question I need to ask, do you have unforgiveness in your heart? If you do, you're forfeiting the blessings of God. The third thing I need to ask you is, are you blessing Israel? If you're cursing Israel, you're forfeiting the blessings of God. We're going to have an invitation here in a minute. And this is a time for you to make decisions. And maybe in the past you've said, you know what, it's no big deal what I have in my heart. It's just, it won't hurt anybody. But God is saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But if you refuse to accept Christ as your Savior, if you refuse to get rid of the anger and animosity in your heart, if you refuse to bless Israel, then you can't receive my blessings. So I'm going to give you an opportunity in a minute to make a decision for Him. Some of you may need to just come to the altar and pray. Some of you may need to get some things worked out in your own heart in regards to someone else. Some of you may have to have some issues with God that you need to work out. And so we're going to be here to help you with that. Father, I come before you today.